Hey everybody, welcome to Rider Club Radio, the only podcast on the internet about tokusatsu, specifically Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week, we watched Kamen Rider X-Aid episode 34?
It's your job to know these things, and every week...
It's your job to bring not toy news, but we see how that turns out every week, too, don't
I
we?
Did. Actually, of the 5 stories I have this week, one of them is toy news, so suck on that.
It's 34. Kamen Rider X-Aid 34, okay?
Okay.
God fucking damn it. Just let me live. And also, Kamen Rider Amazon's 22. So, Liam... Why don't you recap the episode of X-Aid that we watched this week, and do it well, because you know I'm going to be looking for you to fuck up.
Okay.
Jesus.
So they're at the pit, and they're wondering how they're going to deal with Cronus. They're like, oh, well, Cronus is rough.
They're not even
know
thinking
what to
about
do.
Cronus at the beginning, dum-dum.
They're talking Oh my god.
They're talking about how your boy Brave is a turncoat and nobody can believe it.
I'm condensing, you buttheel.
Why don't you fucking talk about what they talked about, idiot?
Okay, they're sad about Hero, and then they talk about how they're gonna deal with Cronus. And they're all confused about it, but then Parrot appears. He can just teleport into their room whenever he wants. And he's like,
hey. Seems like he would have done this at some point in the series when he wanted to kill somebody, but whatever.
I feel like it would have been advantageous to him like 20 episodes ago. He comes in and he goes, hey, dum-dums, I think, you know, I hear there's this, Dan tells him about Gamdeus, and he says, oh, you know, Cronus is the only one who can beat Gamdeus, and Parrot says, well, maybe that works the other way around. Maybe Gamdeus is the only one who can beat Cronus. That'll be cool. And he ditches. Graphite are like, fuck this, and they run away to go get Gamdeus.
And they know where he is. They just go into his house.
They just go. He's in a game, and they just find him. But that happens later. Meanwhile, there's a Bugster on the loose with a totally inconsequential victim. Again, doesn't even have a line of backstory. And they find him in Helheim, in the Helheim ruins. And they beat up the... They're going to beat up the robot. Emu's going to beat up the robot, and Hero shows up. And he says, hey, you know, I'm going to fucking take your driver because... Masamune tells Hero, hey, if you take his driver, I'll bring your girlfriend back. Just do this one thing for me, and I'll bring back Saki. And he says, okay. He goes to beat the shit out of Emu and take his driver, and he does it, despite the fact that he's 50 levels behind Emu. He beats the holy fuck out of him. And
Emu doesn't
want to
beat up his best friend forever.
I know. What the heck? He loves Emu so much.
The best fucking friends.
He beats Emu's like, why are you doing this, Brave? And Snipe's like, yeah, Brave, what the heck? And Brave's like, look, I know all of these years, Snipe, I blame
this
you.
Stupid, Jesus.
All
it's
these
not
years,
what happened
Snipe.
At all, idiot.
What do you mean?
He's not like, why did you do it? He's like, fucking, I know why you did it, because I caused your girlfriend to die, and I pretended so that you would be a good guy.
Jeff, I'm condensing.
You're condense, alright.
Brave says, oh, you know, all these years I've been blaming you, Snipe, for the death of my girlfriend because you couldn't kill Graphite, but really it was me because I stressed her out so much by not hanging out with her enough. I stressed her out and she disappeared. And Snipe says, well, that's fair, I'll let you go. And Emu also lets him go. Everyone lets him go. He's got a strong resolve, so they let him go. Emu also... You know, he doesn't have his driver, so what the fuck is he gonna do?
But it turns out that his regular driver's repaired, so it's fine.
Yeah, they go back to the pit, and Dan's like, yo, I'm a genius, and your busted-up driver's fixed now. Here, take it. So Emu's using his own driver now. All this time he's been using lasers. Just now he starts to use his own again. Meanwhile, over at Masamune's house, he revives Saki. He says, there you go, here's Saki. But she doesn't have her brain. She just repeats the last thing she said.
And which is probably Brave. Just great for Brave.
Brave's like, oh my god, it's her. But she's like, not real. And Masamune says, she's here, but her brain's not there. But I'll bring her brain back if you keep working for me, even harder than before. Hero says, that's fucking bullshit, I bet you can't even do that. And Masamune says, well, I'll show you, I'll bring back another character. and he brings back, who is it? It's probably Kyria. It's definitely Kyria. So you know, the camera cuts away before...
It turns out to not be Kyria, that'll be the funniest shit. If it's just like a different guy that we've completely forgotten about.
It's Bergermon.
What if it's Kyria's friend?
Kyria's friend, Giria?
No, dipshit. The one who died.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
The one who ran out and got hit by a car or something because he was so upset.
He got killed by the car bugster.
I think he was stressed out. Like, I think it was Kyria told him he had the bugster virus, which caused him to stress out so much that he imploded. That's my guess, but they never fucking say what happened.
I don't remember if they show it or not. I think you're right that he runs out and gets hit by a car.
I think he runs off a rooftop or something. It was so long ago.
He does something. He either gets killed by the car bugster or the ground bugster. So he's in the proto-gashat for the ground.
The dig dug bugster.
Oh.
Heyo.
Liam with the fucking swish.
Damn straight. Fuck, what were we talking about? So, yeah, everyone meets up for a big fight. Laser's back, everyone meets up for a big fight on a rooftop that eventually goes to, like, the streets. It was a big shit fight, and Parrot and Graphite have taken, like, a piece of Gamdeus's data. They just walk up to him, and they're like, I'll just take part of him. This'll work.
They go to his house. They're like, knock, knock, Gamdeus, you home? And Gamdeus is a big meatball monster.
He's a big meatball.
And they just, like, I don't know, they just fucking take a piece of him. And he's like, fuck, I'm gonna come back later in the show. And then
he
they
barely
fuck off.
Puts up a resistance. Yeah, they just grab it and leave.
And I'm like, this is the big bad? He's the meatball monster in a game, and he doesn't even fucking fight him?
It's his data. I imagine he's gonna come and be in an actual suit later on.
Well, they show his
when
suit.
Talk about him. Yeah.
Yeah, and like the idea of him when they're talking about him, there's obviously a dude in a specific suit.
They think about his suit real hard.
Somebody
they've got his data. Emu is fighting the robot bugster and Hero at the same time, and the bugster duo is fighting Cronus, and they're like, haha, if we shoot this piece of Gamdeus into you, you can't pause time. How about that, fucko? And fucking Cronus says, actually, Laser is level 0 since he's back from the dead. He can erase that since he can, you know, he has that level 0 ability. And he does the clock up in the rain just like our old boy Tendo. Kicks everybody's dicks in. And everyone doesn't know what to do. They're like, oh god, he's got Laser. He could beat our plans.
It's true.
Everyone's freaked out.
Also, X-Aid defeats the completely inconsequential Bugster.
Yay. Oh, yeah, fuck that. Yeah, X-Aid beats the guy, and he sits up and goes, wow, I'm cured. And that's all you see of him.
Yeah.
Isn't that an important plot point? The episode would have crumbled to pieces if it weren't for that robot Bugster.
I guess it's not necessary. You could have completely not written that in. But anyway. Liam, I'm going to spring it on you this time.
Okay.
What do you think of this episode of X-Aid?
I am of two minds.
Oh, really?
On one hand, I love Hero and his struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I liked it. I'm of one mind. I liked it. I'm just sick of really inconsequential patients.
Why did you lie to me?
Like, every episode now, there's a patient that doesn't fucking matter.
That's true, and that is annoying.
Every episode. Why can't... Okay, like, it seems like the device they use them for is there's a bugster, and whenever there's a bugster, we know about it because we get our little beep beeps in our stethoscopes.
Yeah.
Why don't they just say, hey, someone called, and they saw a Hero. I don't know. They saw this dude dressed up as...
Why don't they just run out and fucking find him like they do in any other episode?
Yeah, in any other Kamen Rider show, no one bats an eye if they're like, I'm going to go look for Hero in this giant metropolitan city and then find him in 3 seconds on foot. Just have that happen. I don't care. I'll deal with it if it means a better plot.
Oh, really, Liam?
Yeah.
Because quite often throughout the Kamen Rider X-Aid portion of our program, you have complained that the other riders that aren't involved in a fight seem to know where the fight's happening and show up.
I said, this is what I said about that. It's dumb, but as long as it gets everybody in the same room for drama, I'm okay with it. I can live with it.
absolutely not what you said about it.
I did. I said it's. I said a lot of writers have to, like, they have to cheat a little to get everyone in the same room.
You said, why do they all have to be in the same room? It's okay, completely it's, unnecessary.
If it's for plot, it's okay.
Okay, and that's if they fine. Did it, I'll accept
if
that.
They did it, yeah, if they did it this episode for drama and plot, I'd be fine with it. But Xaid's problem isn't that everybody magically knows where a fight is. It's that everybody's always involved in the fight.
That's true.
When they don't need to be.
That's true. It's like a... it's like a popularity thing. It's like what's going to bring in the most revenue. Like, they figure out that suddenly, like, the kids fucking love when there's, like, fight scenes with people just jumping all over the place, like, 30 people involved, so that's what the whole show is going to be.
It's, there's such clusterfucks, though.
Sometimes, yeah. This episode was pretty good, though.
Yeah, I liked it. I like that Brave is developing now, and he's got feelings about his ex-girlfriend beyond, like, gosh, I miss her so much.
Yeah, it's weird how long he went without any.
Yeah. But if this goes on, and if this stays good, it could redeem him as a character, and maybe we'll have Snipe up next. Have an arc.
I mean, he's sort of having, like, a tiny mini arc.
Kind of. He feels guilty. He starts to feel human emotion.
Well, it's not that he feels guilty, per se. We find out that he knew he wasn't responsible. Or something. And he was cool with Brave hating him because it made Brave not realize that he was responsible. So he's actually a real good guy.
Deep down in his heart. Which is why he has not killed Nico yet.
Man. He's a stronger man than I. And Nico's fine. But
she's okay.
This episode is like... its highlight is all the stuff with Brave. Everything else is sort of window dressing, right?
Yeah.
Brave's character progression has been a long time coming, and seeing it actually happen is very rewarding. But I dealt with him just sort of standing around, saying no thank you da all the time. And now he actually has a personality. And writer versus writer conflict is always interesting.
I love it. I love shifting allegiances in writer shows. It's my favorite thing.
Especially now that there's a weird-ass allegiance shift, like a split.
There's a shot at the end, though, like one of the last shots of the episode, of Cronus standing with Laser and Brave on one side and Xaid and Snipe on the other side. The writers are split right down the middle, the four main ones.
Well, also Parod and Graphite are on that side as well.
Parod and Graphite are against Cronus. Fucking Dan is on one side. Okay. But you got writers and writers, and Hero isn't being tricked or brainwashed, it seems like. He just wants his girlfriend back.
He chose this path. He could have taken the long way around to get his girlfriend back.
But that's not a sure shot, is the long way.
As far as he knew, like, he could, though. Like, if he would have just fought with his friends, he could have gotten his hands on the Proto-Gashats eventually and brought his girlfriend back. It's only in this episode that we find out that you have to be Cronus to do that, apparently.
Yeah, it's a power of Cronus. And also, if I were Brave, I'd probably think that at some point during the fight, like, you get Cronus on the ropes, and then he'll be like, fuck this, and start smashing Proto-Gashats or something. You don't know what that fucker's gonna do.
That's
He's nuts.
True. He could just be a giant prick about it and be like, if you're gonna beat me, I'm gonna kill your girlfriend!
He could just be like, you know, a human soul is a lot of data. I need to wipe these things to make room for more human souls.
Oh, what an asshole. Day. I gotta wipe this shit to put my new Night Court tapes on it for safekeeping.
I have to make room for Twin Peaks.
Sorry, Saki. Yeah, it was a pretty good episode. I think it would be a lot higher in my rating system or whatever if the previous episode hadn't have been so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a bang-up good episode. It's just the previous one was, like, really good.
I'm excited for this arc, and I like that I'm like a Masamune. He's a little generic as an antagonist in terms of his personality.
Really? He seems like... he's weird as an antagonist, because
he's like
not
an eccentric
really,
billionaire, kind of.
See, I don't know, because he's not really against either side. He's not against the bad guys or the good guys, which is very interesting. He's his own party, and he wants both of them to continue.
His motivation is interesting,
His motivation is interesting. I will say his personality is pretty bland.
But I do like this. I like watching them. And the scene where the fucking freezes time in the rain is really cool.
It really is.
I miss that.
It made me want to go back and watch Kabuto. Really
bad. That scene from Kabuto is so fucking cool.
It really is. And this one was so fucking cool, too. It was just over really quickly.
It's just like, with that kind of effect, you're like, yeah, they'd never pour that much money into that again. That's a lot of raindrops you gotta render. Nope, they don't care. They'll do it.
God, it was cool. It's cool as fuck. Fucking cool. All the special effects related to Cronus are dope as fuck.
Yeah, the time stop is really well done. It actually looks quite good.
I love that every time he transforms, time jumps forward a certain period.
It instantly starts raining this episode.
It goes from night to day, or day to night, or it goes from sunny to raining.
Yeah, the weather changes or whatever.
It's really awesome. It's weird that a video game gives you the ability to change the laws of nature, but it does.
Isn't it weird that he can transform by dropping the video game into the air and it flies into his belt like that?
Yeah, it is
strange. That sounds it's a little high concept.
It is strange, but I mean, whatever. It has a little motor.
Yeah, I'm sure it's got wings or a jet in the back of it or something.
It's just the power of Cronus.
Okay. I'll accept it.
Fucking deal with it.
I like that Gamdeus's little cell didn't quite work. It's not that simple.
Yeah, I thought that was cool too. I will say that, like, was it revealed why Masamune can use the bug visor?
It's he infected himself 15 years ago.
Because he's, like, immune to all Bugster virus
now. He did it along with Emu.
Yeah, he did the Dread Pirate Roberts thing, where you just drink a little tiny bit of the Bugster virus for 20 years.
Yeah. There was a great fucking little sequence of shots in this. I almost forgot to mention this. Parrot comes and he takes Hero's dad hostage, and he's like, "Tell us how to beat Cronus, or I'll fucking kill your dad." And Emu's like, "We will never tell you anything." Hero's dad's like, "Yeah, tell him. I don't want to die. Tell him."
That was alright.
Poppy tells him, and Parrot releases him, and he's like, "Oh, Poppy, you saved my life." And he shoots Emu this, like, side glance, and Emu's like, "Okay."
I didn't see him shoot the side glance.
It's so fucking... He looks right at Emu, and Emu's sort of, like, chuckling, like, kind of awkward, like,
I did get a big kick out of the fact that Graphite steals the cake that Brave's dad was gonna be eaten.
Yeah.
Like, he just takes it with him when he teleports away, so...
What? Bugsters don't even need cake. He's just being a bully.
He's just being a prick.
This is fuck you.
Unnecessary. You know what? Good episode, though. There's a part of me that thinks... I don't want to go on record saying that it might not be Kiryu, because it's pretty obviously going to be Kiryu, but wouldn't it be crazy if it was just somebody we hadn't even thought of from the past?
Might be. Probably not, but might be.
Probably not.
I think it'd be... Because Bray, I mean...
Didn't they give Kiryu's actor the flowers?
What if the flowers were actually a false flag this time?
That would be really clever of them. That would be nuts.
That'd be great.
Can you change your mind? After you give somebody the flowers, can you be like, "Oh shit, no, it's like, we got a really good idea, come back."
Curious actor came back like, "Hey, I got bills to pay, actually.
Write me back in. In Star Trek, we call that Tasha Yar-ing.
Is that what happened to a character named Tasha Yar?
Yeah, she wanted out of the show real bad, right? So the writers had a tar monster slap the shit out of her and she died.
Okay.
And then Star Trek The Next Generation got really, really popular and started making bank. And she was like, "Oh, fuck, I went back on the show." And they were like, "Well, we have a much better character in your place now. His name's Worf."
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, world famous. So we'll write you in as some fucking side character.
How do they bring her back to life?
They have her have a spoiler, I guess, if you fucking care about TNG.
I don't care.
They have her have a half-Romulan daughter because of time shenanigans, and it's played by the same actress.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
It is really silly, but she looks good in the Romulan outfit, so...
All right. I'm done talking about X8. I liked it.
It was good. I'm never done talking about Star Trek, though.
Are you ready for news?
Yeah, Liam, we've got an ultimatum on our Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is from longtime writer Don Piontas, mm-hmm. who asks, will Liam have real news? He better have. There's a buttload this time.
There's there's a couple big news stories this week.
Tell them to me.
The biggest being that the trademark got registered for next year's Kamen Rider.
Yeah, it's Kamen Rider Build.
Kamen Rider Build. What's that going to be?
It's going to be construction themed.
It could. That seems a little narrow for Kamen Rider.
Really? Like construction themed? Like they can build their own weapons?
Maybe it's like they pick shit out of the environment. Like you grab an old bottle and
a Kuga?
Yeah, or like maybe, but you take like three things. Like you take a rubber chicken and an old bottle and a garbage can, and you make a cannon out of it or something.
So it's gonna be Kamen Rider MacGyver.
Oh God, I would love that.
That would
shit.
Be dope as fuck.
Like the way he gets out of every situation is he looks around. He's like, "What do I have? I got a lamp and a sweater and some tweezers," and he builds like a sword out of it. Oh
yeah,
fuck. That would be incredible.
That would be pretty fucking cool. I feel like it's going to be construction-themed, though.
Maybe, yeah. Our idea is way better, though.
And the main rider is going to be, I don't know, like, dump truck-themed.
When X8 got announced, though, you did accurately guess that it was going to be about doctors and computer viruses at the same time. We were like,
true.
Maybe it's going to be curing viruses, and then maybe it's going to be curing computer viruses, and then it turned out to be about both. So who
That's
knows?
True.
Maybe we're
It's
we're
funny how...
Right.
When I guess what the next series is going to be, it turns out to be good. Mm. And when you guess what the next series is going to be, it turns out to be bad.
Look, that's happened once each. That's not enough. It's got to happen three times before it's a pattern.
Well, if Kamen Rider Build turns out to be construction themed, then and it's good, then you owe me a luxury sedan.
Okay, it's in the mail.
Yes. Piece by piece for the next 25 years.
That's how I beat him.
Do we know anything else about it? Was there anything else trademarked alongside it?
Nope, just Kamen Rider Build.
Well, that's cool.
That's cool, it's interesting.
I wonder,
they'll probably
though.
Trademark the driver name next, soon. So
it's
going to
be the
that.
Fucking Build driver. Fuck off.
Yeah, I know. But it might be something cool, like X-Aid's revealed... Like, yeah, X8 was the gamer driver, and it actually gave you a hint. Maybe the Build driver will be called the fucking Ghost driver or something.
Dude, it's going to be fucking, like, Minecraft rider. Is
that
Minecraft
would be a
even still popular? I don't know anymore.
Yes! Go on YouTube. It's still ridiculously popular. Not Jeez. That I know, but...
We're learning about Liam. That should be the name of this program. Learning about Liam.
Learning about Liam. Little by little, you piece together his life.
Anyway,
here's another cool thing. Kamen Rider, last week we talked about that ninja form in the movie. This week they revealed a Kamen Rider VR creator form for X-Aid.
Yeah.
Which looks weird.
I like parts of it. I like the butt cape. I'm a big fan of butt capes.
I love the butt cape.
I like the chest piece, that it has like all the colors on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't like the shoulder pads. I like the gauntlets.
I'm okay with the shoulder pads. The face looks kind of weird.
The face VR does look weird, yeah.
Emu proves, there's a photo if you click on the news link on riderclubradio.wordpress.com if you're not already there. There's a photo there of Emu wearing one of those PlayStation VR headsets. Apparently places like Sony is going to have a thing with it. But Emu's wearing one of those PlayStation VR headsets, and it cements my belief that absolutely nobody looks cool wearing a VR headset. It's physically impossible.
So, what you're telling me is that nobody looks cool with a video game console strapped to their fucking head.
Nope!
Well, it's like, it's not just that PlayStation VR is gonna do a thing with it. This whole thing seems to be one giant fucking advertisement for PlayStation VR.
But if this results in a fucking Kamen Rider game for VR...
It's just gonna be like Betrayed War for VR.
You know what it's probably going to be? No, that's impossible with VR. They'd have to put effort into that. That's not happening.
That's true. It's going to be like
a Kamen Rider VR experience where you just walk through a hallway and look around at a picture of Kamen Rider.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Only $400.
I might, if they have a Kamen Rider VR thing and it looks cool, that might push me to buy a VR headset, though.
Really?
Right now, I'm waiting on Morrowind. Morrowind has a mod in progress for VR. Once that's done, Jesus. I'm gonna fucking buy a VR headset.
They got titty games on that thing?
Oh, yes. I mean, anime titty games, if you're into that.
Well, whatever.
There's VR porn. You can put a head on and just look around while you
blow. Put a head on and
in more ways than one, if you catch my drift.
It's, I agree that VR headsets look dumb as fuck. I thought the Star Trek VR was gonna be what pushed me over, but it seems to be stand in a room and press buttons on a console game.
If there's a Star Trek VR that is not the actual holodeck, it's not worth it.
Wouldn't holodeck be just regular VR for anything else?
No, but isn't the holodeck like a thing that builds a real thing around you?
Yeah, you like, you could program programs into it. You're like holodeck fucking mid-19th century London.
Yeah, but I mean if it's not a real working holodeck.
I guess that would be a shame.
I don't care. Yeah.
I guess that, Liam, why do you know what a holodeck is?
Because it seeped into the mainstream and I heard about it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, then.
Never seen Star Trek.
Liar. Anyway. The helmet is really the problem with the Kamen Rider XA VRX creator gamer.
Yeah, I mean, they work it into the helmet. They work, like, the VR headset into the helmet, but...
it looks better than Amu wearing the actual VR headset, though.
It looks... I'm really wondering if the movie is going to take place in virtual reality. That'd be funny.
It's just... virtual reality is going to look a whole lot like a backlot in Tokyo, is all I'm saying.
Amu, with virtual reality, we can take you to any location you can think of.
Oh, I want to go to this waterfall.
I want to go to a forest. A forest and a street.
I want to go to a football stadium.
That's what I love about Kamen Rider, is the most fantastical location is usually a forest.
That's true.
Or maybe like some old construction sites.
That's pretty much as crazy as it gets in Kamen Rider.
That's what I loved about Q-Ranger when it started, is because it had actual, like, they built sets and made it look like an alien place.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That apparently, like, it's better now that they're on Earth, but I don't know.
I don't care enough to look. Maybe I'll watch that one episode that's got Gavon in it next week, but...
Gavon's gonna be in an episode?
Gavon and Decaranger are gonna be there promoting the new movie next week.
Oh, shit, I'm gonna watch that one.
So, yeah, I'll probably check that out. We can do a little segment on it.
Sure, we'll do that.
Sure.
Liam, do we have toy news, you fucker?
Oh boy, we do. Like, right after we recorded last week's episode, they announced the Bugvisor 2 Shin Dan Kuroto version. Which is just the Bugvisor 2, but with a picture of a trapped Dan Kuroto in it.
That's it.
But I got enough of a kick out of it that I wanted to talk about it here. What are kids... I guess it's a display piece?
Yeah, it's not for kids, I imagine.
I guess it's for collectors, yeah. But it is very funny. It's funny
it probably
looking.
Makes, like... It says Dan lines.
Oh,
press
I bet,
the
yeah.
And shit.
Instead of saying, like, actual belt sounds, you can have them say, Shin Dan Kuroto da! When you hit it.
Watashi wa kami da!
I like, on his... I just noticed today on his desk, his little VR desk that he lives next to Poppy, is, like, block letters of the word Shin on the edge of his desk. Just to remind everyone, it's Shin Dan Kuroto.
No one will ever call you that.
Speaking of toys...
Oh, here's a note.
What?
I love that he calls his own father Masamune Dan.
Yeah.
I love that.
Fuck. Yeah.
He doesn't call him my father, he doesn't call him anything like that. He is Dan Masamune.
God has no such petty connections to humans.
No, he has no father.
No. So here's a fun thing, okay? This year, Kamen Rider X-Aid's fucking gamer driver, the DX gamer driver... won the Hit Sales Award for
yes,
toys.
Yes, it did.
Now, normally I wouldn't give a shit about this, but the article that Tokunet ran has an interesting factoid in it, in that this the driver, Kamen Rider's DX driver, has won this award every year from 2011 to now, except for the Drive Driver.
Aww.
And I remember when Drive was airing, it was notorious for having just garbage toy sales, like Drive Drivers lining the shelves and little shift cars lining the shelves because no
one
bought
them. Having a little fucking belt saying.
No one gave a shit about the Drive Driver.
Nobody wants a fucking belt song.
It was cooler than the Ghost Driver, but the Ghost Driver managed to outsell it.
Well, you wanted Ghost Driver shit to begin with.
That's true. I have two icons. I still have two icons.
I don't have any icons.
They're in a box in my closet.
I am very proud of myself as a human being that I own no icons.
You made it a year. I broke.
I am a pure soul.
Man, icons.
Jesus.
I guess they're better than shift cars. But this is
Drive is a far better series.
Far, far better series. They're not even comparable. But this isn't about like icons or shift cars. It's about the belts themselves. And apparently, kids like the Ghost Driver more than they like the Drive Driver. Maybe they liked the show more than they liked Drive. Isn't that horrifying?
That is fucking terrifying. But they are dumb children. Like, what do they know?
I loved
Big Bad Beetleborgs when I was a kid.
Yeah, I watched a lot of dumb shit as a kid, too.
Show's a fucking garbage fire.
Beyblades, yeah.
You just angered so many fucking Beyblade fan.
Look, I love Beyblades, but it's dumb shit.
Ian Vaffler is fucking pissed right now.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Is... Whoa, boy. It's a card game without rules for the first season. Everyone's just making shit up.
And the funny part about it is it's based on a card game with rules.
I think the thing is that the manga was written before the card game had rules.
That's true.
And then they made the anime and they're like, well, we gotta follow the manga. I mean, he's gotta attack the moon. That's what happens. He's gotta destroy the flotation.
Does he murder a man by playing table hockey with nitroglycerin in the anime?
That does not get into the 4Kids version, no. 4Kids just ignores everything before card games.
You know, that might be for the best.
Might be for the best, even though that part of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is amazing.
That part of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the only part of Yu-Gi-Oh! I like. So, I really wish that that whole manga would have just continued like that,
like
with
that,
him
that
getting pissed off at somebody for a really petty reason and then murdering them.
Like, that part of the manga has a genuine soul and a cool concept, and then it sort of just becomes a commercial after that.
Yeah, but it's for serious, though. Yugi's the hero, and he's murdering people because they, like, fucking cut in line in front of him, or they take his space at the carnival.
He's killed people, he's ruined lives. He blinded a guy once for making a false documentary. He's just like, you're blind for life now. Fuck you. Because I don't like you.
Our hero. And then he plays, and then he has a real bad crush on a girl at school.
There's a whole subplot that the girl likes the tall, sexy Yugi and not the short, wimpy Yugi.
I wonder why she would feel that way.
Yeah, I wonder what about him would make him more desirable.
Maybe it's that he's a murderer. Women love murderers.
Chicks love it when you kill dudes in front of them.
That's true.
If you shoot someone and get away with it.
You say that, but Charles Manson to this day still gets love letters from women.
Yeah, I guess it's like a sort of... I guess we're attracted to things that we shouldn't be. Some we're attracted to danger people.
I couldn't imagine a more dangerous person. So, he must be very attractive.
I have one last weird piece of news.
Okay.
This is weird and not really Kamen Rider related, but we love Juojer and it involves Juojer. So,
side note real quick, they're also releasing the Proto Gashat set.
Oh, toy news.
Yeah,
pish posh.
It was on the same page, so I thought I would at least mention it.
Recolored Gashats. Now I have to hunt for that and put it in the blog post.
It's on the same thing as the fucking Shindan Kuroto.
Oh, is it? Okay, good. I didn't even register. That whole half just blocked out of my brain.
I sure fucking hate Liam. Anyway, what's the crazy news?
Okay, so I think we mentioned it a couple times. Korea has their own fucking Kyuryuger now.
Yeah.
It just ended, and they did the whole Sentai handoff, but they did it to Juojer, but they did it to the actual Juojers, because the Juojer is just getting dubbed there. It's not going to get its own, like, Power Rangers adaptation.
That's so weird.
So they got Yamato, actual Japanese Yamato, to come. I imagine they flew him out to Korea to go onto the set and do a little, like, handshake with the Korean guy and be like, yeah, I'm the next Korean Power Ranger, Power Rangers Animal Force, and my name's Yamato. Hi, nice to meet you. And that, I don't know, that's weird as fuck.
What a weird world we live in.
They're starting with their own thing and then tying it into a dub.
Could you imagine just being Yamato and getting a call one day from your agent that's like, hey, we're going to fly you out to Korea. And he's like, which one? And they're like, oh, south. And he's like, all right. Of course, okay. Let's go.
I would not.
And then you get there and you don't fucking speak the language. You don't know anybody.
Yeah, they dubbed over him in the commercial.
They're just like, just talk. Talk at the camera. We'll dub over you.
Let's talk about what you had for breakfast or what your favorite color is or whatever. Do the whole Kung Pao thing and we'll handle the rest.
Since he doesn't understand what they're asking him to do, so it's just they dub over him going, what? What?
He's looking off camera at the director. I'm sorry? You have to speak Japanese. I don't speak Korean.
Excuse me. Well, why was I brought here? Except the dub is like, my name is Yamato. I'm the leader of the Juojers.
I'm the leader of the Power Rangers Animal Strike Team, I think they call it. I don't know.
Whatever.
That's
crazy.
If I was working for Toei, I would not put it past them to fly me out to North Korea if they thought they could make a buck off of it.
No doubt.
Yeah, just do this concert in Pyongyang and then leave real fast. Real fast. Don't talk to anyone.
If you want real food and not just water, you're going to North Korea.
Oh, boy.
What type of money they pay their Red Rangers now?
Yeah, I imagine better than in the past, I hope.
What if he was just completely full of shit? What if he was just fucking making shit up to get sympathy?
Like, he was on an interview show and he got nervous and just sort of started talking. It's just mateship shit. Oh, my God. Toei would have sued him into the dirt by this time, probably.
Like, what if he was just a piece of shit, and he was just like, yeah, they only gave me water to drink, and they just fucking, like...
They whipped me daily.
They kicked me in the balls every time I got a line wrong.
They kidnapped my little brother.
They had my wife tied up in a room with a gun to her head. If I flubbed the line, she'd get shot.
Every time I flubbed the line, they took a finger.
The kids call her Lobster Claws now, but I still love her.
Oh, Jesus. She can, on one hand, she can do the live long and prosper thing real well now.
Liam, how do you know what that is?
Everybody knows live long and prosper.
I know, everybody knows that.
Everybody and their mother.
Everybody. Everybody, so that's our news segment.
Yes. Let's talk about Kamen Rider Amazons, Jeff. What did you think of episode 20-whatever?
This episode was fucking nuts.
This episode's great. So they decide, they found the origin point, it's Chihiro, and they're gonna put him in suspended animation, and he loses it and kills everybody in a scene that's almost funny.
Almost funny?
I giggled a little bit at it's so cartoonish, the violence. Like, I loved it. Don't get me wrong.
It gets, like, way over the top at points. I did almost giggle at one point.
Hmm.
And I bet you can guess what point that is.
Is it the point when the guy gets photoshopped into half or whatever? He gets sound like tilted in Photoshop.
I actually laughed at that.
Yeah.
But the part that I almost laughed at was when it pans back from Kano and he's talking on the phone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He just has no fucking lower body.
Yeah, I giggled at that too.
Yeah, but fucking Chihiro turns into a monster mash with six arms.
He has an actual, yeah, I guess, I always figured his actual Amazon form would be a little more tame than that, but he's like a fucking beast god as an Amazon.
He's Asura from Asura's Wrath.
That's what I was looking for, thank you.
And he murders everybody with tendrils.
He kills fucking everyone. It's a good scene, like, dramatically, but in terms of the visuals, it's just so, like, 115%.
There's just blood flying through the air. Like, they dump a bucket of blood on the floor from the ceiling at one point.
I think it's
when Kano gets ripped in half.
Yeah. It's like a B-horror movie from the 80s.
Oh, it like, really is. It's perfect.
We're not sure. It's just scary, and they get ripped in half.
And everybody gets killed, except anyone of consequence.
Bug Eyes escapes. Kano gets fucking murdered.
I guess Kano gets murdered.
Tachibana gets fucking destructified.
Okay, that's true. A lot of people die who are purposeful.
The guy with
glasses gets, stabbed once, but I don't know if he's dead or not.
Which guy with the glasses? The guy with the ponytail?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I thought you might be talking about Kano, but...
Hacker Man.
I think he's dead. I'd bet on him being dead.
He might be. But, then Chihiro just runs away.
It's...
Like, he loses his shit because he wants to be with Iyu, and he knows he's not going to be able to, and then afterwards he just runs away and leaves her there.
Well, I mean, if you blacked out and woke up in a room full of mutilated corpses, I'd probably want to leave. Everything else would be pushed to the side.
Really? How do I know I did it?
Even if you didn't do it, that'd be worse. You'd be like, oh god, someone's killing people. I should get the fuck out of here.
Nah, I'd beat him up.
Yeah, who's this fucker?
Who does he think he is, mutilating all my friends? I'll give him what for.
There's also a lot of shit with, they're hunting Mamoru, the old kill squad.
Yeah.
And they got Haruka with them, and it turns out Mamoru has possibly more pieces of... It's from a different person. There's like a different Amazon that matches the cells that Chihiro has. There's more than one origin point.
You know who it's gonna be?
Who?
It's Nanaha.
You think?
I think it's her.
But she wasn't an Amazon.
But she did get iterated by an Amazon that has the ability to turn humans into Amazons.
Oh, yeah. I guess the lysogenic... Yeah.
I'm gonna say it's her.
That would be nuts.
Very feminine-looking Amazon. You only see it in, Predator stealth mode.
Yeah. There's, a weird Amazon that goes all shimmery and will fuck you up with a million tentacles.
It has wings.
Yeah.
Which is making me think...
Just like the painting.
Chihiro's name.
I didn't even realize that.
Dude, I'm putting all the twos and twos together.
Every two in this show is being put together.
It's all coming together. And
Jesus, you're right.
We see Haruka's Neo
new,
Omega.
New Omega, yeah.
It's just New Omega, yeah.
New Omega.
We see New Omega, which is like Machine Chaser Omega.
He looks a bit like Machine Chaser.
Which is strange, but he kicks a lot of ass.
It's like you said, it seems like we are advancing towards cyborgs with these Neo belts.
A little bit. Dude, there was a line in this episode that got me fucking pumped, hyped.
What's that?
But then I realized it's never going to happen. Bug Eyes is on the phone and he's like, Chihiro has escaped, requesting armored support.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, could you imagine how fucking awesome it would be if a bunch of riot trooper style riders showed up
or something, yeah,
and started actually, they were all in mechanical suits that looked like a Kamen Rider, one of the previous Showa riders.
Yeah.
That would be dope as fuck.
I think you meant an armored car full of people.
No. Well, yeah. Probably.
That's a shame.
That's probably what he meant.
But, oh, well. This episode was still very good. I liked, I think Chihiro actually ate his mom.
Yeah.
I think we're moving towards that now.
Yeah, he ate his mom.
It's at first it's vague, and you've seen the flashback where she's trying to crawl out and three arms grab her down, which made me think it was
there
someone
were a
else,
bunch
but now
of Amazons.
This episode he's got 26 arms, so it's entirely possible.
He would have three arms left over.
arms to grab Nanaha, and the other three to hold on to whatever other person he wanted to eat at the time.
Silverware.
No.
Really, really good episode.
Really great
really
episode.
I really fucking love Amazons.
I think I liked the Jin backstory episode more, but...
I did. That's my favorite Amazons episode this season.
This was a Nido Keen episode. I liked it a lot. Violence, violence is funny, but it was just too far. Amazons has always been, season one was pretty subdued compared to season two, but even season two, with the when Hojo slaughters his family. It's sort of presented in this vague, dreamlike sequence where you don't quite see it. You just see it in snippets.
It's terrifying.
It's tasteful, and it's much scarier.
But this was like, you hit the nail on the head perfectly when you said it is a 1980s B-movie level of gore.
they give you the money shot right out, and they don't have the budget to do the money shot. So a lot of people get photoshopped to death. Especially,
and it's kind of funny.
I think it's Tachibana who gets, like...
He's the one who turns into a Z.
Yeah, he's, like, twisting him or crushing him or something, and he just gets photoshopped into a diagonal shape, and it just looks ridiculous.
It looks really bad.
It would have been a great scene if they had just been a little more... I don't know, maybe show it from... If they had showed it from EU, as, like, 90% of it is her staring at the wall while you hear the awful sounds and the blood splats on the wall, and then every now and again she'll casually look around and see, like, one guy getting dragged up or something, and then back to the wall. Maybe something like that, where you obscure it, but you can see some of it.
That would have been a lot cooler.
Would have been a little more tasteful, save some budget. But they give you everything.
It's a reach extending past your grasp situation when it comes to special effects, but it didn't ruin the episode for me or anything.
No, yeah, they fly a little close to the sun, but it was a good. It's just special effects. Whoa, it was like writing wise, it was good. It's a good episode.
Jin has a really great moment when he stumbles his way into a place where Nanaha has been,
like, she was hiding.
Hidden before.
Yeah.
And he sees the painting and everything, and I don't know, maybe he realizes he has to kill Chihiro more. But I guess we'll figure out what his motivations shifted to in that scene later.
Jin is a developing character, and I love Jin. He's always been probably my favorite guy in Amazons, my favorite character.
He was absolutely my favorite in Season 1. I feel like Haruka is my favorite in Season 2, now that he's like a giant badass.
Haruka's developed so far. He's come so far from the beginning of Season 1.
When he was a wussy baby.
But I like Jin. I like the broken old man. I've said that before.
He is real broken, too.
Real broken.
Like, he's just tripping over trash cans. That is his character now.
They managed to make a character who just trips and slips all over everything, but it's not funny. Thank God they don't fall into that trap.
It's not funny. It's like sad.
It's just pitiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a cleverly made show.
I really am enjoying Amazon Season 2.
I am loving it, as they say at McDonald's.
Hashtag eat a McDonald's.
Cha-ching. Do we have any mail?
Yeah, we got a few.
All right, open the mailbag. Present it.
Whoa. Our first email is from Just a Paradox, and it's actually from our last episode. But it arrived, like, right after the end of the episode.
Oh, that happens.
Hey, Sentai Club Radio. How you doing?
Don't you
Jeff,
matter.
You doing good? I'm doing all right. That's great! And Liam, want us some questions.
Oh.
It's so mean. If you could give one theme from one writer series to another writer series, which theme would you give? Such as giving Gaim Ryuki's theme, making them all animals or insects. Do you think the series would be better or worse, and why?
I want to put Ghost's theme onto any show that's good.
Yeah.
Take the story of Ghost, or take the story of, what's a show that you can get rid of its theme and still make it good?
I don't know.
Fuck. Ghost story with Kabuto's, or Kabuto's story with Ghost kind of theme would be cool. But then you'd have to...
I don't know,
to...
I love that they're bugs.
Yeah, you gotta get rid of bugs. I don't know what I'd sacrifice.
I want bugs to come back really badly.
Bugs,
wouldn't that be great for Builder, though, if they're construction themed, but they're also bug themed?
They could do it.
So you get like a dump truck, like Hercules Beetle?
Honestly, X-Aid was the anniversary series. That's where we're gonna see bugs if we're gonna see them, and we didn't.
And we're not.
So, probably not. I wouldn't cross my fingers for Builder. I'd put Ghost theme onto anything good, because it deserves a good show.
I can agree with that. I would take Kiva's theme of, like, monsters.
Oh.
And put it onto a show that's not garbage.
So we both have
Maybe I'd put it on Den-O.
Okay.
And instead of Imagines just being, like, weird, like, creatures that don't really have... They have a bit of a motif, but they're not much beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
They would be, like, movie monsters.
Yeah. Vampires and Frankensteins and stuff.
Yeah. I think that would be dope as fuck.
Now that you mention that, Ghosts theme would work well with that, too. Instead of Imagines being monsters, it would be Musashi Miyamoto and Billy the Kid and all them hanging out.
Yeah, that would actually... And they would, like, possess the main character.
Yeah, holy shit. Deno was a ghost show.
It's a better ghost show than Ghosts. Last question. If they did make a Space Sheriff Gavon series, would you want 40-minute episodes with the same tone as the movies, but with collectible gimmicks because Toei are cash grabs, or 25-minute episodes with good writing and more toned-down tone? Like, I'm guessing, like, the special effects budget wouldn't really be there, is what he's saying, like, and the tone wouldn't be so grandiose.
I would take 20-minute episodes that were good.
Yeah. Choice is good writing or bad writing, I'm going to choose good writing.
The choice is clear.
But if, like, the 40-minute episodes could be just as good as the movies, but there's some stupid collectible gimmick, I'd probably go for that.
That's okay, yeah. I don't mind collectibles as long as they don't get in the way of the story.
Those movies were dope as fuck.
They were good movies.
Thanks for writing in, Just a Paradox. Our next email is from Taylor. And the title of the email is Y-R-E-A-C.
Y-R-E-A-C.
The body of the email is, your own has not been known yet.
Is this code?
So, if all of you die in 7 days, at least I'm taking you with me. Like, I don't think I was supposed to say that out loud. There's probably, like, a demon somewhere in the world now.
So I think you broke the prophecy.
You're welcome, everybody.
So the Chosen One's not going to appear.
Chosen One!
I'm coming.
Our next email. I just thought I would... Like, we get a lot of emails like that that are just like... We get a lot of blatant advertisement emails, right?
Of course, yeah.
And spam emails. But I've never gotten an email that was so fucking cryptic before. That literally tells me nothing.
If you get, like, an ancient artifact at your door in the next month or so...
I'm just leaving it.
Probably sell it to a museum or something. Don't touch it.
Don't feed it after midnight.
Don't.
Our next email is from Don Piontis.
Okay.
Who says, hey, RCR. Last episode, you guys helped shed some light about the extra dimension of Jin being antagonist, despite being a rider for humanity's sake. Which I caught a whiff of, but hearing it aloud made Amazons much more enjoyable to understand. Hey, cool.
Yeah, that was...
I'm glad
that
I could give some insight.
That was Jeff mostly, yeah.
I'm a smart boy.
He's a smart boy.
The newest Amazons episode was amazing. Somewhat reminded me of Resident Evil. I could see that. It was very Tyrant-esque.
Yeah, I could see that being
Or like Nemesis.
Bug Eyes, take the rocket launcher.
Chihiro's monster form might as well be his final form for being so cool. I was first doubtful Chihiro ate his mom because of the flashback showing three arms. Yeah, you covered that.
Yeah.
And Kano, he's the man. He didn't scream or anything.
He finished a phone call.
I would have been wetting myself and crying. And fucking, it would have been gross.
You'd be wetting yourself on the other side of the room from where your head was. He texted someone a photo and also called them to be like, yeah, this is the photo I texted you. All right, I'm dying
now. When he was taking the photo of the monster, I was like, fucking, really? Right now?
He's very dedicated to his job. They probably pay him like fucking $200 million a year.
You can't pay me enough money to get ripped in half by a monster.
I don't know.
There's no amount of money for that.
$200 million a year is a lot of money.
It's a lot of not real money. Maybe if I had a family to give it to or something, and I wasn't a giant loser.
Maybe.
Challenge. When you henshin, you must pose in a JoJo-like fashion. Pick one pose and one henshin device, excluding all Showa riders, because all they do is pose.
Oh.
Rider Man, X, and Stronger are allowed, but I'm hesitant to do that, since Liam is going to choose Stronger.
Yep.
I can't imagine doing Johnny Joestar's leg-up pose... And transforming.
Oh, the one where he's practically upside down
Yeah. I would henshin with O's belt and oppose like Killer Queen with horn hands.
Stronger has the coolest henshin because he takes his gloves off and rubs his metal hands together.
He takes his gloves off and he fucking rubs his completely fake coil hands together.
You shut your shit. Here's the coolest thing. He pulls his first glove off with just his hand.
Mm-hmm. But he has to pull his second with his mouth.
Yeah, because he'll electrocute himself to death or something, or he'll burn the glove or something if he touches it with his super electric coil hand.
Well, his electric coil hand isn't a real hand either, so he can't pull it off with that.
Fuck yourself.
Is your pick really stronger?
No. No, of course I would use a Ryuki Advent deck. Always.
What would your JoJo pose be?
I'm tempted to pick the original Jonathan one that's so popular with the one hand in front of your face.
The hand in front of your face.
Yeah. That's a fancy pants one, but I like Josuke's as well.
I think I'm going to pick Whamu's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the over-the-shoulder thing.
Yeah, where like puts all both fucking of his flexing. Hands. Yeah, back behind his shoulders, yeah.
Yeah, I would do that, and I would do like a Kabuto driver. Or I would put it in, and like as I was armoring up, I would do that pose.
Do that hilarious pose. You'd be you'd be the fucking Oren.
I would be.
Of that show.
Of course, Joseph's pose is pretty fucking dope, too.
Yeah. Where he's with Caesar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pose is dope as fuck. Our last email of the night is from guess who?
Jake the Snake?
Yes.
I knew it.
It's from Jake the Snake, who says, "Hey, RCR. If at the early episodes of X8, someone told me that Brave and Laser would be on the enemy team, while Snipe and Genmu would technically join the good guys' side, I would have said that sounds impossible, but look where we're at now.
We're at a good show. Yeah.
Gotta hand it to Masamune for having measures to keep Hiro cooperating. He may be playing with people's lives, but I have to admit he makes a very effective boss in getting results so far. His newest subordinate getting the Gundo job. Congrats. I wonder if the other employees in Genmu Corporation get the same treatment when they do well.
Probably not.
Questions. 1. In most Rider series, these aren't as common. But are there any non-belt henshin devices, i.e. Zabizector chases Brake Gunner, you find cool? And would there be a type of these kinds of devices you'd like to see come up more often in Rider series in the future? The Bizector stands out to me as a great one since it also doubles as a finisher weapon, and I'd like to see more brace-type devices in future series personally. Everybody knows that I have a huge fucking soft spot for the B.
The B, yeah. I'd say the Jeff bees. Has a pretty hard spot for the B.
Whoa, I mean. It's called my dick. I Thank fucking you, love the B.
I always got a kick out of Hibiki's tuning fork. He hits it, and then he stares at it so hard, and then he turns into Hibiki.
That is
super
cool. That is cool.
It's very different. It's not like a big flashy thing. I guess because it's kind of older. Older transformations tend to be less flashy, but it's very subdued, and it's... And it's, like, special effects and it's sort of thing. It's I like it.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I like belts best.
Belts are cooler.
It feels like Kamen Rider to me, when a belt is the transformation device. When a brace is the device, it's much more Sentai to me.
Yeah, Sentai is wrist shit and cell phones is Sentai to me.
Like, I love the B, but I would much rather have, like, the Gatak Zector.
Oh, yeah.
It's a belt.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I like is the fucking Drake, where it's just a gun.
It's a fucking gun. A I love that they still wear belts that just have the Zek logo. They're like completely useless.
Yeah, and they still hit them to clock up, but there's no Zector there.
Yeah, that's weird. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like belts best.
Belts are cooler, but I do like the tuning fork.
I really do like the B Zector though.
Yeah.
Question 2, what are some of your favorite funny moments in Drive? Bonus question, favorite funny moment involving Neera? I know there might be more than a few, but one that always stands out to me is the time Go let a Roidmute get away because he was too busy doing his henshin speech. Thanks and looking forward to the next episode as always, Jake the Snake. Dude, I loved your fucking hoity girl laugh.
That was your favorite scene in The Drive? Wow, pathetic. Funniest scene in Drive for me, the one that comes to mind instantly is when I believe it's Go accuses Shinosuke of being in love with Kiriko, and it does that like really close-up shot of his face, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and he's like pouring water all over himself. I thought that shot was brilliant.
The one that made me laugh the hardest is the one where Chase shows up and he has a personality.
Oh yeah.
And Kiriko and Shinosuke both spit orange juice right into Go's face, and he's completely fucking stone-faced the entire time.
Oh, speaking of stone-faced Go, the part where they rescue, I don't remember what the exact, it's the one where Nira is taking Shinosuke hostage and they have to rescue this other hostage that he has.
They rescue the girl and they do the thumbs up.
And Go is, like, so upset that he has to work with this filthy road mutant. He's, like, he's super pissed as he's putting his thumb up. I love that shot.
Any shot of Nira getting really, really close to Shinosuke's face and hamming it the fuck up is hilarious to me.
I love Nira's camp powers.
He is such a giant dick, and it's hilarious.
I love him.
I hope that answers your question, Jake the Snake, if that's your real fucking name.
It probably is.
It's probably his real name. I just guessed it, and then he started
Jake
using
T.
it.
Snake.
T is short for Timothy.
PhD.
PhD. God damn it. Now his next email is going to say Jake the Snake, PhD. You
Let's
know
keep adding
it.
To it.
It's fucking MD, DDS.
Esquire.
BBC.
There it is.
It's got a double meaning. You know what? If you'd like your email read out loud on the air by us, famous men on the internet, then you can send it to RyderClubRadio@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter @RyderClubRadio.
But thanks for tuning in this week. Hopefully you'll tune in next week where we'll talk about more of the exact same shit.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.